Feels like a long time ago now, but back in my 20s, I lived in Washington, D.C., and despite what some politicians like to say about lazy bureaucrats, I found Washington to be a city that was full of hardworking people. Lots of type A's, if you know what I mean. Even at a party, it seemed that the primary conversation was always about work, how hard people were working, and how busy they were. People seemed to like to brag about that even. One summer, I went away for a week or so on vacation, and when I came back, I was feeling so happy and relaxed. But on my first day back on a job with a client who knew me fairly well, she said to me, "You are way too laid back. We've got to get you wound up again." She was only speaking aloud what I sense is a pervasive message in our society. Do more. Act busy. Hurry up. Anybody else sense that too? Like, even car companies, you know, zoom, zoom. The message is that success means being on the move, running things past people, getting things done. And I'm afraid that over the years, I have bought into this focus on doing. My wife can tell you that I'm somebody who has a pretty hard time sitting still. We could be relaxing in our backyard, sitting on the grass under the shade of a tree in the summer, but before long, I notice these things and I'm out plucking weeds out of the lawn. Maybe I'm the only person here who needs to hear this sermon. But I think there might also be a few of you who could benefit from being reminded, especially at this time of year, of the blessings that come from doing less for a change, of stepping back from our busyness and being more present to this moment, to this world, and to this day that we have been given, to the people whose lives are so closely linked with ours. We just heard Mary Oliver describing how she would spend a summer day strolling through the fields, being idle and blessed. I'm not actually sure that I would want to spend a whole day falling down in the grass and strolling through the fields, unless you put a trout stream running through that meadow. What I love about the hiking and fishing that I do is that I can get lost out there, lost in a reverie of moving clouds floating by and water flowing by, where I lose track of the time and I forget about my petty worries, where I am at home in my body on this good earth. These summer days, they promise this kind of spaciousness, don't they? That's the idea. The warmer weather is supposed to invite us into all kinds of simple but sacred moments, whether it's an outdoor concert or a visit to an ice cream stand, time at the beach or in a park or in your own yard. It's like the world is saying to us right now, this is all here for your appreciation and your enjoyment. You know, sweet corn and ripe tomatoes, open windows, birds singing. You could add your own summer blessings, right? I want you to hear what the Quaker Parker Palmer says about this season of abundance we're in. He writes, "Summer is the season when all the promissory notes of autumn and winter and spring come due, and each year the debts are repaid with compound interest. In summer, it is hard to remember that we ever doubted the natural process, ever ceded death the last word, ever lost faith in the powers of new life. Summer is a reminder," he writes, "that our faith is not nearly as strong as the things we profess to have faith in. A reminder that for this single season, at least, we might cease our anxious machinations and give ourselves to the abiding and abundant grace of our common life. That we might cease our anxious machinations and give ourselves to the abiding and abundant grace of our common life. I don't want to be a downer, but you know this summer is not going to last, right? The days are getting shorter. These last few nights, quite a bit cooler. I will also remind you that summer officially doesn't end this year until September 22nd. But I don't want this to simply be a carpe diem sermon. You know, seize the day before it's gone. I want to see if there is something we can learn from summer, something we can carry with us into the days ahead. Long time ago, Jesus reportedly said, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these." Maybe even back then, people needed to be reminded not to run around so much, to slow down and appreciate the gifts of this moment and this day. There's a new book out called The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down. I haven't read it yet, but it got me right there at the title. This summer, I slowed down enough to see that hurrying is not how I want to live. I have to admit that I like being busy because it makes me feel important and valuable. I don't like to admit that, but it's true. I'm coming to see that my hurrying and my busyness comes out of a place of emptiness. Who am I if I am not doing things? Would greater inaction make me lazy, unimportant, selfish? Maybe y'all would want to fire me. When I slow down and look at my life, I see that what's driving much of my action is this unexamined idea that I need to do things in order to earn God's love and earn people's approval. I try to prove my worth and justify my existence by being busy. Maybe some of you know something about this too. Parker Palmer calls this functional atheism. He says it's the belief that ultimate responsibility for everything rests with us. He says, this is the unconscious, unexamined conviction that if anything decent is going to happen here, we are the ones to make it happen. I don't want to pathologize being productive. I love getting things done, and I'm all about and all for people leading useful lives. There is so much good that we can be doing. But we need to balance our doing with being. In a culture geared so much toward action, it can be hard to find support for doing nothing. And if we want to lead spiritually deep and satisfying lives, then we need to make time for rest and for stillness, time to simply be. And if you have a hard time with that, then I invite you to look inside yourself, to ask, what is it that's keeping me from slowing down? What is preventing me from being idle and blessed? Let me know if you want to have a conversation about this. We could start a support group here called People Doing Less. Very few meetings and no homework. And if you did get to enjoy some idleness this summer, I encourage you to find ways to carry that with you into the fall and winter. Make space for it in your daily life. Find ways to savor the present moment, to engage your senses, to be still, to do what brings you joy. And if you've had a summer that is too busy, then I encourage you in these days to find some time to be idle. Head over to the beach and feel the sand between your toes. Lie on your back in the grass and watch the clouds go by the way you may have done when you were a kid. Do whatever it is that your soul longs for. The English poet Andrew Marvell wrote a poem that's a classic in the Carpe Diem genre. In this poem, he's coming on to a young woman, and he wants to seize the day with her, if you know what I mean. The poem is called To His Coy Mistress, and it begins with these lines. Had we but world enough and time, this coyness, lady, were no crime. And then he goes on to say, we could love so slowly, and he describes this in many ways, and then he says, but we don't have time. He says, at my back I always hear time's winged chariot hurrying near. We need to hurry up, he says, and love right now. It may be a good dating strategy, but it's no way to live for the long run. You may remember that Thoreau, from his cabin at Walden Pond, asked, why should we live with such hurry and waste of life? He understood that the hurried life is a waste because you miss so much when you're moving too fast, right? The trouble with multitasking is that in the end, you really don't pay attention to anything. If you want to live a fuller and deeper and more connected life, it helps to believe that there is world enough and time. Paradoxically, it is when you slow down, when you sit still, when you let go of those anxious machinations to do stuff, that time seems to actually expand, and you start to see the present moment for what it is, a gift full of possibility. You start to see that time is a human creation, really just an idea. And right here and right now, there is plenty of it. If I only had one sermon to preach, it would be this. You are part of a great love. So please act like it. This is something I myself need to hear. That you don't need to do anything to earn that love. It comes as a gift. All you have to do is accept it. To believe that you are worthy of it. And let that knowledge guide you through your days. When I bless babies here, if I'm lucky enough to get to hold them in the crook of my arm and I touch water to their foreheads, I say, know that you are beloved on this earth. Who among us doesn't need to be reminded of that? So in the days ahead, which may include some busy ones now and then, I ask, will you seek after spaciousness and look for ways to do less and be more? Will you join me in practicing being idle for a change, trusting that there is blessing for us and for our world in not doing? Let's end with these words from Mary Oliver and hear them as a prayer and a blessing for us on this summer day. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down in the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Amen.